Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Brought to you by the 2012 Toyota Camry.
Hey there, Tech Stuff listeners. This is Jonathan Strickland, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about something cool going on at How Stuff Works right now. I know all of you guys are really creative, and you love technology. Well, now you can show us what you're made of, because Toyota is sponsoring a new photo upload widget over at HowStuffWorks.com. You can share your gadget ideas, modifications, hacks, some great tech ideas. Show us what you're made of. Let us know how creative you are. You can go to HowStuffWorks.com/upgrade your tech and upload those photos now. We want to see what you got.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as usual, mostly because I prefer to keep an eye on him, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there.
So, this week, as of the week we're recording this, there was a highly hyped event.
Blarg.
That was sort of met with a big shrug by the community of people who pay attention to these things. That was all in caps. Attention to these things. And that would be the release of Apple's iPhone 5.
Yeah.
Of course, Apple has done, regardless of whether you like the company and what it does or not, I think it's safe to admit that Apple has done a good job of marketing its stuff to the point where I know, but there are going to be people who, Apple is terrible and Steve Jobs was awful, blah, blah, blah. Now, what I'm trying to get at is they've done a good enough job at marketing new products to the point where people tune in large numbers, including the tech media, to press releases for brand new products.
Yeah, the tech world stops when Apple makes an announcement. I mean, every tech news site that I follow, everyone had either a live blog or some sort of live commentary about what was going on over at Apple, including our buddies over at Revision 3.
Yes. You know, they totally did it up.
They were covering it up, all that as well, and giving reaction and giving analysis, to the point where you're really, you know, these are events. These press events are events with a capital E, because, I mean, there are some people who kind of wear it as a badge of honor that they are invited to go to these Apple events. Some people have lost that privilege, and it almost feels like it's a kind of punishment in a way, like you've been banished from the land of tech.
Mm-hmm.
Turn away, never to return. It's a big deal. But the reason why we're even talking about it now is because a lot of the reaction, not all of it, but a lot of the reaction, particularly from the media to the iPhone announcement, was sort of this, well, okay. You know, not that the iPhone 5 is a bad product or is in any way deficient, but just that it did not blow everyone's socks off, which is kind of an interesting thing to talk about, because before the Apple announcement, there were other press events from other companies about upcoming phones, like Nokia having some Windows 8 phones coming out.
Yes.
And again, the reaction from a lot of the tech media was sort of like, all right, that's interesting. You know, no one was falling over themselves. And that would not be a big deal at all, except for the fact that Apple, when it first launched the iPhone, really brought the house down. Same thing with the iPad. That when these new products came out, they dramatically energized the tech industry, both from the journalist point of view and from the consumer point of view. Because like it or not, even if you hate Apple products, you cannot deny that Apple is the company that created the markets for consumer smartphones and for tablets.
Yeah.
Because before the iPhone came out, smartphones were pretty much just in the world of enterprise. You had professionals, mostly executives, carrying around smartphones, and you had a few cutting edge, like bleeding edge early adopters who loved them, but everyone else just carried around, you know, feature phones, what we call feature phones now, or just dumb phones if you want. But then the iPhone comes out.
I liked calling them dumb phones.
Yeah, I often would call mine a dumb phone. But then Apple comes out with the iPhone, shows off this amazing design, beautiful touchscreen interface. They nailed everything they needed to hit in order to appeal to consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what started this tide of change where suddenly average people were going out and buying smartphones, not just executives or super geeky tech lovers. Same thing with the iPad. Before the iPad came out, nobody bought a tablet unless they were in a very specific field or, again, they were an early adopter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just tablets, just that was one of those form factors that no one had gotten right. And a lot of people, including myself, famously, at least in the history of tech stuff, wrote off tablets.
Mm-hmm.
Apple comes in, again, shows a very consumer-friendly way of creating a tablet with a beautiful design and a great interface. So bring the house down. You know, they had set that standard. The iPod Touch was also a big hit. I mean, they had done so many things that were really attractive that we kind of got used to Apple bringing down the house with their announcements, and it's become something of an expectation, and it's getting increasingly difficult for Apple to live up to that expectation by adding improvements to a previous generation of technology.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because those were the comments that greeted the iPhone 3G, 3GS, the iPhone 4S.
iPhone 4 was enough of a dramatic change that I think it kind of excited people. But the 4S, I remember distinctly when the 4S came out, people were very dismissive of it.
Yeah, they were expecting the iPhone 5.
Yeah.
And the changes were more about the insides of the phone than the outside.
Right. Which you know, are important but are not as sexy as a new form factor that really captures the eye and imagination of the public.
Well, and I think it's pretty clear to me that the people who argue that design is just superficial, I think that doesn't necessarily prove them wrong, but it proves them mostly wrong that, you know, design does matter to people.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're completely wrong either, because I think if you had a very beautiful phone that didn't do as much, it's not going to sell as well either. So it was, you know, the original iPhone was that combination of, hey, this looks nice and, it does, you know, smartphone stuff, for the public. So Jonathan and I were talking about beforehand. And said, you know, when we were picking topics this week, we didn't want to do an iPhone 5 recap. But so many other people have done this, including our colleagues over at Revision 3. They did such a great job of covering the release and the features and all the good stuff about the phone that we didn't really want to do an episode specifically devoted to the iPhone 5. But we, you know, this was sort of what triggered it. And actually what I noticed beforehand – before it was even launched, was Stephen Shanklin's piece over at CNET, mm-hmm. where he said, you know, look, this is the time in smartphones when you're kind of going to expect that there's not going to be a lot of groundbreaking new stuff, even from Apple.
Yeah.
And he was right.
Yeah, Shanklin's article was titled "The Ho-Hum Era of Smartphones Has Begun."
And I think by and large, he's got a point that we're sort of in the evolutionary era rather than the revolutionary era, because the iPhone 5 is thinner.
Yeah.
It looks a lot like the iPhone 4 and
it's
4S.
Taller.
It's taller. It does give you more screen space. And that's one of those things that people seem to like about, I would say, semi-revolutionary phones like the Samsung Galaxy
Note.
Well, the Galaxy Note, which
that
is a
the huge one.
Phablet.
Yeah, I still kind of want one of those.
Yeah, and the Galaxy 3, which is
– I kind of want one of those too.
A pretty darn large size screen. The iPhone 5 has a smaller screen than it does. More pixels.
16:9 aspect ratio.
Yeah.
So great for watching movies, but not necessarily for surfing the web.
So the stuff that you're seeing is, you know, larger or smaller screen sizes. You're seeing more pixels in that screen, more screen elements, if you will.
Yeah. More network capability, because now the iPhone 5 has LTE. But then, as many people have pointed out, other phones have had LTE for a while. Apple has famously been slow to adopt new wireless technologies in order to make sure they don't sacrifice the customer experience. So,
well, at least that's their story.
That's their story. I pretty much buy it.
Yeah,
I pretty much buy that. The idea that, well, we could, but if we incorporate that without first making sure we have the best battery available, then your experience is going to be, this phone was really fast for about an hour, and then I had to plug it in.
Well, yeah, and battery life is another thing that provides an incremental change.
Right.
But it, you know, it could look exactly like last year's phone and have two more hours of battery life. And that's the big news for this year? Really?
Right.
A battery? Come on.
It's not
exciting.
This is something that applies to all smartphones across
the
board.
We're using
the iPhone 5 as the example because
it's the hot news of the week.
Hot news of the week when we're recording this. Of course, by the time you guys listen to this, you'll probably be sick of iPhone 5 news anyway. But the idea being that all phones are having this problem.
Where the
incremental improvements aren't quite enough to capture the imagination the way the introduction of the iPhone or the introduction of the first Android phone could, or even the introduction of the first Windows 8 phone.
Yeah.
These were events that sort of make a big splash, and then afterward, you know, you can't just keep on radically redesigning your products and expect to build a level of brand recognition and brand loyalty. I mean, every time you redesign something radically, you're losing people. Now, you might be able to gain more people than you lose with that redesign, but it's a risk. It's an interesting problem. I mean, when you think about it, I respect Shanklin's point, and he's not the only one who wrote about this. Roger Ching, also of CNET, wrote an article called Ho-Hum, the iPhone 5 isn't going to wow anyone. So it became Ho-Hum week over at CNET. I love you guys over there at CNET. Anyway.
Yeah, the not that CNET is Ho-Hum.
No. Very nice people who work there and very smart as well. Anyway, he was writing about the general reaction to the iPhone 5.
Yeah.
But I would caution people against writing off the smartphone form factor and feature set as being pretty much all we're going to get from here on out, right? Like, I mean, with incremental improvements added in, stuff that, you know, screen resolution, processor speed, battery life, networking capability, that kind of stuff, you know, maybe NFC capability.
Yeah.
Apple has not jumped on that train, and it may very well be that NFC doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Near field communication, or NFC, is basically like it has a little communication device inside the phone or tablet.
Yeah.
Actually, the Nexus 7 has NFC in
it,
does it not?
Yes.
Yeah, and it can be used for most famously, it's used for financial transactions. So if you're close enough to a reader at the cash register, you pay with your phone. By your credit card information is in your phone, or I guess it could be a bank information is in the phone. You wiggle it within 10 inches of a reader, and it goes.
It's actually
oh.
even closer. I think it's a couple of centimeters, but
yes. But I was sorry. You're right. It is shorter than that. So it's really near field communication.
Yeah.
But that's people were speculating before the iPhone 5 launched, will this be the time that Apple does this? And actually they did on iOS 6, they have a manager for things like tickets and other information for
right.
events, you know, plane tickets or event tickets and things like that. And it doesn't
like
use
loyalty,
NFC to do loyalty that.
Loyalty cards for certain things. But yeah, it does not have NFC built into it.
No.
And NFC can also be used to send communication between devices for things like you're running an app, your friend's running the same app, you want to share some experience across that, whether it's a game or music app or whatever, tapping the two
business
devices
card
together. Business card
information,
a great example. But yeah, the iPhone 5 does not include that, but other phones do include it. And again, these are things that partially I would say the NFC is not as big a deal because you don't see widespread adoption in retail establishments yet. So, and we may never see it, but in other words, the utility of NFC is limited because it does not have wide adoption.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing I've seen as far as news this week, and again, this is less than a week after the announcement, is the brouhaha over Apple's new connector.
Because they abandoned the 30-pin connector. But the connector they have now, you know, one thing that is nice about it?
What's that?
You can plug it in any way you want.
Yeah.
Like there's not a right way and a wrong way to plug it in other than, you know, make sure the plug goes into the port.
Yeah. It can be plugged in either right side up or upside down because there is no right side up or upside down. But the thing is, people are saying that it's a proprietary connector.
Yeah.
It's not a form of USB.
Yeah, it's not like mini or micro USB.
Right. So people are saying that Apple is arrogant because they're using their own proprietary connector. Of course, micro and mini USB has to be plugged in a certain way.
Yes. So and also, Apple is nowhere near alone in that, Sony.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, this argument and the recent patent arguments.
The Samsung-Apple stuff.
The Samsung-Apple stuff where they were talking about whether or not a Samsung device was easily confused with an Apple device because it did or did not have rounded corners or sharp corners or, you know. I think these are the kinds of emblematic things that really – have to do with this. They're really the kinds of things that we're talking about when we're talking about whether or not there's innovation going on in the smartphones. Because in a way, Apple's new connector is innovative because it can be plugged in. You know, you don't have to look at it. You basically look at it and see if it goes in the slot or not.
Right.
It's kind of innovative. It also makes a lot of older peripherals obsolete.
Yes.
Although there's an adapter for that.
Right, but it still doesn't help with, like, docks.
Yeah.
Like, if you have an alarm clock dock that's designed for the...
Yeah. You can't use the new iPhone with it.
Right, because by the time you plug the adapter in, it won't fit in the dock anymore.
Yeah, so So this,
not and, that and, I'm saying I have one of those, or that I—that's the reason why I was late today.
Okay, all right. You know, you just had to get here on time. That's all I'm asking. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, you're talking about rounded corner versus square corner, or does it have a bigger or smaller screen size, or you know what? What kinds of things would it take at this point to make a smartphone really revolutionary and go, wow, that is unlike anything else, and I don't care what carrier it is or who makes it or what operating system is, I've got to have this.
Yeah, see, that was Shanklin's point, was that we have reached this era where there isn't anything like that. Now, I would caution people to that line of thinking, because every time we think that we've got a handle on how stuff is going to be from here on out, someone, some brilliant, brilliant person out there comes up with a new way of doing something, and next thing we know, we're all like, wow, I never would have imagined it, and now I can't imagine myself without that.
Yeah.
You know, so there's still the chance that someone's going to innovate in the smartphone space in such a way that it really is truly innovative. It's not just an iterative approach to improvement. I don't know what that is. I'm not in that mind space, right? I can't really think like that. So, but I'm not willing to completely write it off. However, I do agree that those opportunities are going to come fewer and further between than the iterative approach. And it makes sense. I mean, another point that Shanklin made was like, look at the computer industry and how once the computer form factor was settled, I would argue that it was settled in 1984 when we got to the point of the graphics user interface and the mouse. That was essentially where we agreed on the basic form factor of the computer. There wasn't a lot of change until you got to like an all-in-one device where you had the computer and the monitor was all one piece. Well, that's kind of similar to some of the old computers too, but in a much, in a much nicer form factor, like the iMac version of that, where it's beautiful and sleek and everything.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Apart from aesthetics, the basic design hasn't changed that much until you get to things like the new focus on touchscreen interfaces, and that remains to be seen whether or not that actually makes any impact in the computer industry, apart from the mobile. I mean, in mobile, of course, it's all the difference.
Yeah.
But in desktop computing, it remains to be seen if that actually becomes an effective feature.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of the issue, I think, with any kind of technology. Once you have kind of settled on the form factor, once the early battles have died down and people are like, okay, when you say the word smartphone, this is the picture I think of because this is how we've all agreed to define what a smartphone is. I think by definition, most of your improvements from that point forward are just refining that design as opposed to really, really creating something spectacularly different. I mean, not that that can't happen. It's just really rare.
And I think that's why the patent battles have been such a big deal anyway, is because people are saying, hey, this is, this particular feature is something that we did in the smartphone market and people like our phones because of it.
Yeah.
And we are going to fight to protect it because that's what we have. That this thing is our thing that sets us apart from everyone else. And we're
going
to defend it until we can't defend it any longer. And, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things like that in tech. You have a desktop computer. It changes, you know, it used to be beige. Well, now it's black. It used to be, 10 inches wide. Now it's 6 inches wide or, you know, so and so tall. And then you start getting
into. It used to weigh 60 pounds. Now it weighs 10 pounds.
Yeah. I picked up my Amiga 3000 one day a long time ago. And the case on that thing, I'm pretty sure is. Well, put it this way, it's metal anyway.
Yeah.
And I think it's steel, and it's much, much heavier than a lot of other desktops.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that was a computer that was, the physical case on it was beige. The monitor that we bought to use with it was beige. Black is a more popular color now, but,
unless
you know,
it's
basically
Apple,
it's a,
it's white.
Yeah.
Or
aluminum, brushed aluminum. And, I have a desktop computer now that is my primary computer. I bought it because I wanted a larger screen. There are days when I think, you know what, I'd rather have a laptop just because I could carry it around with me.
Yeah.
And then I go use a laptop, like, for example, the ones we use here for work at HowStuffWorks.com, and I go, you know what, I hate this tiny screen. I want a bigger screen. And I think it's going to be – you know, there are things like the chips too. You get into the Intel chips and, you know, the Core i7 and like, I want the faster processor. Well, you know, maybe I'm playing games and then I get to a point where I'm doing other stuff and I just don't have time for games anymore. And, you know, I don't really need to upgrade my computer. And I think that really is, it gets down to whether the computer or electronics manufacturers can get us to buy their new thing because it's got that feature, that innovative new feature that no one else has. There was that time when people really wanted to upgrade to the Xbox 360 or the PlayStation 3 because, hey, it supported high def screens and, oh my gosh, you know, it's got a faster processor, more power. I can look at the games they're putting out for this thing. And they really haven't refreshed those in quite some time because, well, there's not a new TV. That it has to support. There's not a new, there're just not that many new improvements to the chips and to the things. And you go, you know what? I don't need to spend $600 on a new console,
mm-hmm.
or I don't need to spend $2,400 on a new, desktop machine because the one I'm using now, you know, I've taken care of it. I've backed up the hard drive. I've upgraded the memory. I've upgraded the graphics card or the sound card. You know, I just don't need to have that next big thing. This one works fine.
That's kind of the argument I think that supports the reasoning behind companies like Sony and Microsoft when mm-hmm. they say, you know, there's no need for us necessarily to come out with a new console you know, earlier than 10 years down the line from introducing the last one, because the space for innovation is somewhat limited. Yeah. I mean, there's you can create better graphics, you can have a faster processor, you can have more memory. You know, all the physical specs, you could definitely up those from the previous generation. But you know, beyond that, like, what's the wow factor? Because we've all become so used to that just being a natural thing, right? Just the, oh, well, yeah, it's got better specs, but what else does it have? I need something else beyond it being faster and having more memory. You know, that's the same problem that Apple and all the other smartphone manufacturers are running up against, is that we've made improvements. This is demonstrably better than the earlier models, at least from a specification point of view.
Yeah.
And yet people aren't getting excited about it. Mostly for consoles, I would argue the thing that gets people excited isn't necessarily the hardware, but the games.
Yeah.
So if the games can be more compelling, if people can actually take advantage of whatever that hardware is and create content for it, then people get excited about the consoles. So in a way, you could argue that perhaps the next generation of smartphones will be able to handle apps in a way that's different from what they do now. And maybe that becomes the big driver. It's not necessarily the hardware, but the fact that the software designed for that hardware can do stuff that the previous generations couldn't.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the next piece of hardware one of the things that people have been mentioning is that, well, maybe the smartphone, like getting excited about smartphones, maybe that era really is over. Maybe now we're like, oh, well, that's interesting. Maybe now Apple events won't stop the entire tech world. I don't think that's going to happen, but at least not. I think it'll at least be one more year before that does happen. But I think really it turns into, well, what technology will be the next thing that gets us all to stop and say, wow. And right now, I hesitate to use the word consensus, but the tone that I'm hearing out in the world right now is that Project Glass is like the next thing people know about that could be a big splash, which is, of course, Google's project to have the glasses with the augmented reality functionality built in.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, I was going to say that it sort of goes along with the tech analyst Gartner. You know, they have this I've forgotten what they call it, but it's basically a table where it shows, you know, what it takes before, you know, when it's still very cutting edge, when people are starting to really get into it. It's sort of a hype index. I think that's actually what they call it. But and then it gets into this period where people go, yeah, whatever, but I'm not ready to go out and buy one yet. And then it gets to the point where it's a mature product and people buy it as a matter of course. You know, and then it takes some time, and every tech thing is on its own path to that. And some never actually get to the point of maturity. I would say that smartphones are really kind of the point where they're, you know, a mature product.
Yeah.
And there's, you know,
definitely,
tablets are sort of behind that somewhat, in the point where not everyone has one yet. There's still some excitement because they're saying, okay, well, who's going to win the 10-inch, the people with the 10-inch screens, like the iPads,
right,
to this point? You know, people expect that there will be a smaller iPad.
We'll find
out next spring, I would guess.
It didn't happen at the September event. Which surprised a few people. It didn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Especially once I saw the pricing for the iPod Touch.
Yeah.
And the, you know, you figure out the pricing for the iPod Touch versus the pricing for the iPad, and you wonder where would they price a 7-inch version of the iPad? Because the iPod Touch has three models, right?
Yeah.
It's got was it 16 gigabyte, 32 gigabyte, and 64 gigabyte? And those are $199, $299, $399.
Yeah.
The base model of the iPad is $499.
Yeah.
So you've got the entire price range from $199 to $499 covered from iPod Touch to iPad. If you were to introduce a 7-inch iPad, presumably it would be less expensive than the 10-inch version.
One would think.
But would it be more or less expensive than an iPod Touch? And if it were less expensive than an iPod Touch, let's say it's at the $299 range, which would put it $100 more than Amazon and Google's tablets, then would that cannibalize sales of that level of iPod Touch? Would people going for, well, I could get an iPod Touch 64 gigabyte for $399, or I can get this new 7-inch iPad for $299. See, it just doesn't make sense from a market perspective to me, from a pricing perspective.
Yeah.
Like I don't, that doesn't mean that they won't do it. I just find it very confusing.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Well, I think there's still that sort of excitement around tablets, too. I mean, with Google's Nexus 7, with the new series of Amazon tablets that were just released, the Reader tablet, the Kindle Fire, whatever it is, which it is. That's the funny thing to me.
Not the Paperwhite,
right? The devices that are the Kindle Fire and Barnes and Noble's
Nook tablet,
which started out as a Reader, and then there was a Nook tablet. And interesting.
Yeah.
And those are in that 7-inch range, and there's innovation there in that size range, and then there's still some what's going to happen. Are they going to have a port so that you can plug in a USB stick and all those things? That's sort of in the middle of that. And then I would take Project Glass back to that point where the iPad was at its release, because at that point netbooks were still very popular.
Yeah.
And people were saying, well, can it really stop netbooks in their tracks? Will people stop buying netbooks or notebook computers in favor of a tablet? Microsoft has done tablets. So, maybe not. I think Project Glass was that same kind of thing for Google. I'm not sure. People are going to buy a pair of technology-enabled glasses to really look at stuff and get ideas of maps and find out what a coffee shop is. I don't know.
Yeah, my wife is
so thankful.
Now
other people are starting to consider it, they say.
Yeah, my wife is so thankful I didn't go to the I.O. event. Because it meant that I was not eligible to put in a pre-order for a $1,500 pair of developer's glasses.
Yeah, that price is a bit steep for me. But in 5 years, it will probably, if assuming that people buy them, the price will drop and it will become more common.
When you said that, you know, thinking about smartphones being a mature technology, technically, I mean, if we think of it from the iPhone era, so the consumer smartphone, not smartphones in general.
Yeah, not BlackBerries.
Those have been around for a while.
Trios.
But you're talking about 5 years. Yeah. It's been 5 years since the iPhone 1 came out.
Which is amazing to think about.
Yeah. So it's not mature. It's geriatric.
Yeah.
Because we're in the world of tech.
True.
After 2.5 years, you're like, come on. You're starting to show your age, buddy. You think Hollywood is harsh? Silicon Valley, buddy. That's where the harsh comes in.
Yeah.
But, so I think generally, I agree with Shanklin. I generally believe that the smartphone era is now at a point where I think one of the big disappointments people have with Apple right now is that in the early days when the iPhone came out and then the iPhone 2 and then the iPhone 3, it was exciting enough for people to upgrade immediately. And for some people, that meant paying big bucks to get the new version of the phone because they would have entered into a 2-year contract and Apple was introducing a new model every year.
Yeah.
So people would go from their iPhone to an iPhone 2 and pay either to get out of a contract or they'd pay the full retail value of the phone or at least more than what it would be if they were signing a new contract just to get the new device. And I think now people are feeling like there's not enough new stuff in the phone to justify that behavior anymore, which to me just says that the rampant out of control consumerism is no longer being pushed and supported from a corporate level. And maybe that's not something we should be mad about.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of agree with you, I have to say. But that's my point of view. And I'm sure that all of our listeners, will not necessarily agree with us. But the thing is, though, I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing to be at this point, because they can concentrate. Now, I've had an Android phone now for about a year and a half, and it's been upgraded. The operating system has been upgraded once. I've actually appreciated some of those things. And I think the improvements, and I think that seeing the new – technologies they add, even when they're incremental technologies, I think I can get excited about those little things and, you know, not get so overwhelmed by the whole, ooh, wow, look at this thing that they added. You know, looking at both Google and Apple have been upgrading their Maps apps. Okay, they're not new, but they're better than they were.
Hey, Apple's got turn by turn now.
Yeah. I mean, these little things, though, I mean, they're not – they're things that improve their devices overall, and there may not be something to jump up and down about necessarily, but if they improve our everyday lives, and when you look forward to the next operating system release because it brings a bunch of these changes at one time, I don't think that's that bad to be excited about, even if it's less excitement than the overall jumping up and down of the original device. And there are very few devices, even when they first come out, that I have to wait in line for because I'm just not that kind of guy.
Yeah. Well, I like the fact that I can buy a phone and not feel in a year that I need to get rid of the one I have while I still have another year on my contract.
Yes, I agree with that too.
And of course, for everyone who's outside of the United States who doesn't have this whole contract-supported phone model, this is a discussion that doesn't really apply to you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you might be used to buying a phone at full price and then just using it with whatever service happens to support it.
Yeah.
For those of us in the United States, we're more used to either going no contract prepaid, more and more people are doing that, or doing a, you know, 2-year contract and a subsidized phone.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody who waits in line for, you know, an overnight release of a brand new product or somebody who buys something new in a year because they want to, I don't think that's silly necessarily, but different things appeal to different people, and that's
different strokes for different folks.
So yeah, I'm certainly not making fun of anyone in that case. It's just a situation, though. I think we're going to see it less in the smartphone world now because they've reached a a point where there's a certain expectation of size, there's a certain expectation of function, and, you know, there are improvements in communications technologies mm-hmm. and in the software that powers them. But I think you might see trends develop, you know, oh, well, every year we've decided that, well, this year glass is the thing, and, well, this year brushed aluminum is the thing. Kind of reminds me of when we went to CES, the year that both of us went at the same time, and color was one of the big things in television that year, HDTVs.
Yeah. No more black and white.
No. Like the colors of the sets themselves.
Oh, right.
And the thicknesses of the devices. And I was thinking, well, is the resolution any different? I'm like, no, it's 1080p.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, how is the – as functionality went that year, it was also about power conservation.
Right.
You know, or the big thing was plasma versus LCD. And it was, you know, it's okay. All right. But it's not – neither of those was the big – there was no big breakthrough in technology.
Right.
It was a fashion thing. And I think smartphones are really at that point.
So if I can sum up what Chris just said, I think the world don't move – to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some. And so, guys, that wraps up this discussion about the general ennui that has seeped into the tech world as it goes to smartphones. We'll all just have a dramatic sigh and sip our expensive, fancy frou-frou coffee drinks and make comments about the industry in general. If you guys have any suggestions for topics we should tackle in future episodes of Tech Stuff, let us know by sending us an email. Our address is techstuff@discovery.com, or drop us a line on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle at both of those is techstuffhsw, and Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
See, guys, I told you we'd talk to you again really soon. That really soon is right now. I'm just reminding you that we have our photo upload widget live on the site at www.howstuffworks.com/upgradeyourtech. Toyota's giving us the chance to let you share your creativity. So send us those pictures of your modifications, your tech ideas, those gadgets that you've created, all those hacks. If you're steampunking everything in sight, put on your goggles and show that to us. We can't wait to see them.
Brought to you by the 2012 Toyota Camry.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.